Okay, welcome to the Shir in Svarno, Parshas Balak. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Rachel and Hando Abramowitz, marking the yard site of her father, Avraham ben Yirmiyahu. The Shama should have an aliyah, she see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family is involved in. One of the issues that really, to a large extent, all the Mufashim talk about in the beginning of Parshas Balak is the seemingly confusing instructions that Bilam gets from the Ribbono Shel Olam in terms of whether he should accompany Balak's men to the Jewish camp or whether he should not accompany them. On the one hand, so it says in Perchof Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayelchu Ziknei Moav, Ziknei Midian, Gsamim B'yodam, Vayavo El Bilam, Vayidabu Elav Divrei Balak, the messengers, the elders of Moav and Midian come to Bilam. They tell him, you know, we've got a job for you. Balak sent us. He wants you to be hired to curse the Jewish people. Vayomer aleihem, so Bilam says back to them, Linu fo alayla, sleep over. Vashivosi eschem dover, kashidabi Hashem Eloi. In the morning, I'll tell you what I'm going to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll tell you what he said. Vayovo Elokim el Bilam, so Hashem comes to Bilam that night. Vayomer, Hashem says, Mihu anoshim ha'ele imach. Who are these people who are with you? So Bilam explains that he's being sought after. They're scouts, you know, to see if he's, ready to curse the Jewish people. Vayomer Elokim el Bilam, so Hashem says to Bilam, Lo se lechimoem, don't go with them. Lo sares ha'am, don't curse the people, ki varuchu, because the people are blessed. Okay, sounds like that's the end of the story. So Bilam wakes up in the morning, and he tells the officials who came from Balak, sorry, no deal. The Ribbono Shel Olam nixed the deal. Okay, so Balak is not going to be deterred. He sends more officers, Rabbim Nechmadim Me'ela, even more, and more prominent than the first ones. You know, the first ones were just vice presidents. The second ones were executive vice presidents. You know, he sent bigger and better. They come back. And Bilam tells them, Shvu no bozeh gamatem aloylo, ve'edom ha'yosef Hashem daberi mi. You know what? Why don't you stay over also, and let me see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell me this time. Vayavo Elokim o Bilam laylo, so Hashem comes to Bilam that night, again in a vision, in a dream. Vayomer lo, he says to him, im l'kro l'cho boho anoshim, if the people have come, l'kro l'cho, to call for you, an ambiguous term, which again we'll try to define based on the Svarna in just a few minutes. If the people have come to call for you, kum lechitam, so go with them. But you're going to perform that which I tell you to do. So again, it seems seemingly contradictory. First Hashem says don't go, now Hashem says go. And then Bilam, Vayakam Bilam Babokir, he wakes up in the morning. He gets his donkey ready. Vayelech Msarei Moav. He goes with the officers. Vayicharaf Elokim ki holeichu. And Hashem is angry that Bilam is going. Why is Hashem angry that Bilam is going? Hashem just told Bilam to go, right? So this again seeming switch or lack of consistency in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Bilam is something that, as we said before, all of the Mefarshim deal with to some extent, because it's just such a glaring question that one has reading the Psukim. So let's share the approach of the Svarna, and we'll see what he has to say. So, starting with Pasuk Tes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially reveals himself to Bilam, the question that he asks is, Miho anoshim ha'ela imach? Who are these people who are with you? So the Svarno interprets as follows. Mihem etzlecha shachinosa atzmecha l'nevua ba'adam lodas matas Elohim. I'm not asking who they are, says Hashem, in the sense of, what are their names, where do they come from. But obviously, you prepared yourself to receive a nevua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Now, the details of what the preparation was are not spelled out in the Pasuk, but, it's clear that when Bilam says, let me go to sleep and I'll see what Hashem has to say, he's not just, counting sheep dozing off, and boom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him. Whatever somebody like Bilam does in order to prepare himself for Nevuah, whatever that is, he did that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, look, obviously it was important for you to know how to deal with these people. That's why you, so to speak, knocked on the door of the Ribono Shel Olam, asking for my guidance. So what's the story with these people? Ha'amnam heim etzlechar kishale asidos? Are they people who just want to know the future? In other words, they're coming to you not to do something, but to predict something. V'sirtza ladasa asid leman tagid lohem? And you're just checking in with me, because, you know, between me and you, Bilam, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you don't know the future, right? So you came to the boss, right? So is it just that you're trying to figure out what the future is? So I'm, you know, I'll let you know. Is that the issue? Ohem etzlecha kimevakshim lahasig eze mechuvan bekilalascha. Or, the second option, did they come to hire you to curse someone? Right? Now, remember what the Sfarno said, what we learned last night. The Sfarno's position is that Bilam does not have the power of bracha. Right? I just want to mention what Mashilit mentioned yesterday after the shir. Yes, what do you mean he doesn't have the koch of bracha? I mean, the whole second half of the parashas, all the brachas that Bilam gives. So I think what the Sfarno would answer to that is, in that particular instance, Bilam is really just acting as a mouthpiece for the Ribono Shel Olam. He's the mannequin, you know, whatever, howdy doody or whatever he is. You know, he's just, Kodesh Baruch Hu just pulling the strings, and Bilam's mouth is moving. That's it, you know, but independently, you know, of his own volition. So Bilam doesn't have any koach habracha. He doesn't have the ability to give anyone a bracha. Again, as the Sfarno pointed out, we saw yesterday, if Bilam had the koach habracha, so then Balak should have said, give me a bracha. You know, I mean, besides cursing the enemy, that's great. Cursing the Jewish people, that's great, says Balak from his perspective. But, you know, I could use a bracha also. Like, we might as well. As long as you're giving out clothes, you can give out brachas. Apparently he did not have the power to give out brachas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bilam, look, I know you're a man of two options. You either pretend to know the future, or you try to curse people. So, these people who came to see you, which one, which button are they pressing? Are they pressing button number one, or are they pressing button number two? So Bilam's answer totally fits the Ribono Shel Olam's query. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so what's the story? Are they looking for you to predict the future, or are they looking for you to curse someone? So Bilam says, Balak sent to me, you know, atolucha kavalioso, right? Balak sent to me, now go and curse the Jewish people. They're coming to curse. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu in response, if that's the case, nothing doing, right? If you just want to make predictions, okay, maybe I'd be open to giving you some facts about the future that you can share with them. But if you're actually looking to curse the Jewish people, lo seilechimoim, nothing doing. You can't go with them, right? And there's no way that you can curse them whatsoever. And here the Sfarno adds the following insight. The Pasuk says, Lo seilechi mohem, lo sa'ore sa'om. Don't go with them, don't curse the people. It's a little bit extraneous, right? In other words, don't curse the people, right? What do you mean, what do you need, don't go with them? So says the Sfarno, Afal pi shelo tekaleleim, lo seilech. Don't even go with them, not to curse them. Right, you'll say, I'm just going to accompany, I was always looking for a paid vacation, you know, to the cliffs overlooking the Machane Yisrael, you know, I'm interested in that. I'll just go and I'll accompany these people and I'll tell them jokes along the way and keep them occupied and entertained. No, you can't go with them either. Why? Kadesh lo titen enecho bohem lera. Even if you don't open your mouth, you are gazing at the Jewish people can have negative consequences. There's a concept, the Sfarno goes on to elucidate, that a person can give someone an evil eye, an ayin hara, and by Bilam just gazing with his enmity at the Jewish people, that itself could potentially have terrible consequences. Ke'inyan Amram, as Chazal say in a number of different places, Nosan Einov Bo V'Nasa Gal Shalat Somos. Chazal, in a few places, describe an interaction between two people where one is upset at the other, and Chazal say person A looked at person B, Nosan Einav Bo, he gave him a stare, and person B became a pile of bones. Meaning, whatever that means exactly, you see that a person has the power, or certain people at least have the power, through a certain kind of evil stare or the like to inflict damage on someone else. So Bilam, apparently, besides his power of cursing, had this power of the Ayin Hara. Again, if you look in Pirkei Avos, which we read this past Shabbos, Perikei, that outlines some of the terrible attributes of Bilam HaRosh and his Talmidim, it describes them as having an Ayin Hara. So what's an Ayin Hara? So one way to interpret Ayin Hara, the simple pshat in Pirkei Avos, is that they're jealous people. Ayin Hara in the sense of, you know, they begrudge other people their fortune. But it could also be understood, and it seems like the Sfarno is understanding it in this way over here, that they have this power associated with the Ayin Hara, with the evil eye, to inflict damage upon someone in that way. So that's the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you can't curse them, you can't even go with them, because I know you're going to inflict damage upon them. Okay, so that's very extreme. You know, there's nothing, no wiggle room for Bilam whatsoever. So then how do you understand the follow-up statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, Bilam consults with Hashem a second time, and Hashem says enigmatically, "Im lekro lecha bal ha'anashim, kum lechitam." If the people have come to call you, go and go with them. You can get up and go with them. So you can go. And what's lekro lecha bal ha'anashim? So the Sfarno writes as follows: "Im lehivoyitz im mecha bilavod." Lekro lecha doesn't mean to call for you. Lekro lecha means if the people have come to consult with you. They just want to consult with you, so then you can go with them. How do we know that lekro means to consult? Ki'inyan kruei ha'eda. Right? So in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it talked about certain individuals, the Nesim, who are kruei ha'eda, the ones called by the congregation. What does it mean they're called by the congregation? So the Sfarno understands that they are the people that the community is misyayeds with, that they take advice, they consult with these leaders. To be in a position of leadership is to be a consultant. You know, people consult you, then they do whatever they want to do. But, you know, at least they consult you, you know, to try to get a sense of the direction you would guide them in. So, in lekro lecha bo ha'anashim, if the people have come to ask your advice, kum lechitam. So then, get up and go with them. So, you can get up and go with them? So, the Sfarno has an interesting interpretation over here where he seems to interpret kum lechitam, not that you may go with them, but you should go with them. Why? So he says three words. Lahasiram shlo yechetu. You should go with them in order to admonish them that they shouldn't sin. So let's try to get a picture of what's going on over here, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially tells Bilam, they want you to curse the Jewish people? Nothing doing. Don't go with them. You certainly don't curse them. Nothing to talk about. Then Bilam goes back and he consults with HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. They came back a second time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, what are they asking from you? Right? This time Bilam doesn't say what the people are asking from him. Right? Bilam presents it apparently to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if they accepted what I said the first time. Right? In other words, that I'm not going to curse the Jewish people. I'm not even going to go with them with the intention of doing harm to the Jewish people. But they'd like my position on what they should do. Now remember, we learned yesterday, the Sfarno said that the intention of the people of Moav was to, you know, was to fight against the Jewish people in two complementary ways. They wanted Bilam to curse the Jewish people, but then Moav was going to go to war in a conventional fashion against the Jewish people. So maybe the people of Moav had accepted that Bilam was not going to curse the Jewish people, but still they wanted to consult with Bilam, how should we deal with the Jewish people? How to fight them? And the truth is, we know, according to Chazal, and you know the Psukim are almost explicit about this, in the end of the day, even after Bilam doesn't curse the Jewish people, the people of Moav go back to Bilam and they say, look, you know, we know that you can't curse the Jewish people. Give us some other eitzah, give us some other advice as to how to deal with them. And Bilam is the one who tells them, you know what, go hire these women to go into the Machane Yisrael to seduce them, to get them to worship Avodah Zarah, and you'll bring them down in that kind of way. So in other words, there is this concept of the people of Moab and Midian consulting with with Bilam, even if he can act in an advisory capacity, even if he's not acting in a cursing capacity, right? You know, he had multiple business cards. You know, guy who curses, guy who predicts the future, guy who gives out random advice about how to deal with your enemies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if they're coming and asking advice, now why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that? Well, because you already told them that you're not going to curse. So if they're coming and asking your advice, so not only should you give them advice, but give them the advice that they shouldn't fight against Klal Yisrael in any way, and go with them in order to make sure that they're not going to fight or do harm to Klal Yisrael in any way. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Bilam the second time around. Right. In other words, he's telling them, advise them to leave the Jews alone. Advise them to be inspired by the Jewish people. Advise them to go up and say a kapitel te'ilim when they're standing over the Jewish people. Right? But in other words, and you know, you can be helpful, Bilam, in going with them because you'll tell them the right thing to do. Now, it's a little bit odd. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really think that Bilam's going to go with these people and you know, wag his finger at them the whole time? Don't harm Klal Yisrael. Don't harm Klal Yisrael. It seems a little bit of an unrealistic expectation. But remember, Chazal tell us that with all of Bilam's faults, he was an incredible Navi. Chazal tell us that Bilam was on a level of Nevuah analogous to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what that means exactly, again, we can try to figure out, but it certainly means that Bilam had greatness in a certain way. He misapplied and misused that greatness, but he was a great person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, look, you're a great person. You can stop these people from sinning. Go with them and tell them as you go with them that they won't sin, and you're uniquely poised to have that kind of influence upon them. Right. In other words, well, one way of understanding that is that, in a sense, he wanted to, you know, stop the nations of the world from having a taina against the Jewish people, right? But he gave them a good navi. You know, he didn't just send them, you know, the bottom of the class. You know, he sent them, you know, the top quality navi. Had Bilam utilized his powers in the best possible way? Okay, so now we still have a problem. So we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially says don't go and curse. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back and says, if they're just looking for an Eitzah, they just want to know what to do, so then Dav could go with them, and you'll try to influence them properly. So Bilam saddles up his donkey, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told him to go. So here comes the Sfarno and says as follows. The Pasuk says, Ki holeichu. Vaychar af Elokim ki holeichu. Right? That Hashem's anger got upset, ki holeichu, because he was going. Now, in English, you don't quite capture the nuance of the Hebrew. In Hebrew, the pronoun who could be omitted without doing any damage to the sentence. Vaycharaf Elokim ki holech. Right? Now, you don't need the pronoun who, that he was going. We understand that it's he who is going. Why does the Pasuk put in the pronoun who? So apparently the Sfarno understands that the emphasis on who means as follows. Shelo hoyo inyono baderech. Bilam didn't see himself as going just to carry out someone else's will, i.e. the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aval hoya holechu kebal hadavar. Bilam went himself with a strong sense of self and autonomy in terms of what he was going to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can go, and as you're going, you know, sit there on the donkey with the Mesillas Yesharim and, you know, read to them the whole time from the Mesillas Yesharim about how they have to do the right thing. So Bilam got on the donkey, but he left the Mesillas Yesharim at home. Right? He was going because he was going. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go, and I'm going to decide, you know, what I'm going to do over here. So that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu says, oh, you're not following instructions. That's not what I told you to do. Right? I told you to go and to be constantly telling them to follow the Ratzon Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. But Holechu, he was going. He thought that he's the boss. And if you think that you're the boss, that's going to be a problem. Kumishtadil neged ritzon hakel yisbarach. He was acting in a way against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes. Kilo bo likro lo le'etz klal, because let's be honest over here. The people were not looking for his advice. They were looking for his cursing expertise. And he knew that, and they knew that, and you know, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that as well, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him some slack, you know, like, you know, if that's what you're doing, so then fine, you can go under those circumstances. But I see you're not doing that, you know, and I knew from the beginning you weren't going to do that, but I was going to give you the opportunity to try to prove yourself. Okay. So we know that Bilam sets off and he encounters all kinds of difficulties along the way. And ultimately, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously gives the power of speech to the donkey. Vayiftach Hashem espi ha'osan. And Hashem opens out the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey speaks to Bilam and says, "What are you hitting me for?" That's an incredible, incredible miracle, right? Donkeys don't talk every day, right? Right. What's that?
Only Mr. Red.
Right. Only Mr. Red, and he was a horse. So you know. So it seems a little striking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed this miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very sparing with the performance of miracles. Why make the donkey talk? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just appeared to Bilam and told him, "What are you doing?" Ultimately, the Malach appears to Bilam, and you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have had the Malach talk to Bilam. That would have been a little bit more conventional. What's this idea behind making the donkey talk? So writes the Sfarno as follows in Pasuk Chav Ches: Nasan ba koach l'daber. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave power to the donkey to be able to speak. In Hashem Sfas Haytiftach. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu really gives us the ability to speak, right? When we daven, we start davening Hashem Sfas Haytiftach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open up my lips. The implication is that were it not for Hashem opening up my lips, I wouldn't be able to say anything either. We don't think about that in that way because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind enough to open up our lips constantly. But really, we should realize that every time we're speaking, it's really a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we shouldn't, you know, we should use it well, and we shouldn't, you know, take it for granted that we have the ability to speak. The whole idea of this unusual miracle, making the donkey speak, was to encourage Bilam to do tshuva. Why would this encourage Bilam specifically to do tshuva? Bizachro. By having the donkey speak, it would cause Bilam to remember that the power of speech comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we think that the one who's speaking ordinarily doesn't have the ability to speak. All kinds of speech, any ability to speak, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol shekein shiuchal lehasiro min hamuchan kirtzono. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a being that doesn't normally speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the same token, can also make a being who normally speaks unable to speak, right? So, you know, you, Bilam, are so confident in your ability to go and curse the Jewish people. The same way Hashem made the donkey speak, he could take the power of speech away from you, right? So maybe you should just think and do tshuva before you continue in this path. It's worth it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do this unusual miracle, the supernatural miracle, in order to bring Bilam to the point of doing tshuva. V'kol zeh kidei shelo yovad ish kamohu. And all of this was worth it so that a person like Bilam should not be lost. It's a very interesting statement. I just want to try to understand what the Sfarno means by that statement. What does he mean by ish kamohu? Right? A person like Bilam. It's worth it for the donkey to speak in this unnatural, supernatural way so that a person of the likes of Bilam should not be lost. So one way to understand it is, you know, to insert the word even. Right? That even somebody like Bilam, Rasha that he was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about his welfare and wants him to do tshuva. Right? And we saw that this is a theme which the Sfarno talks about in another context. We saw that the Sfarno writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Egyptians in Mitzrayim to do tshuva. You know, so he sent the 10 Makos against them, but he was really hoping that they would do tshuva, and if they would have done tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have removed most of the Makos with the exception of Makos Becharos. So even the Mitzrayim, you know, the Mitzrayim are not exactly up there on the, on the barometer of great tzidkus, of great piety. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to afford everyone the opportunity to do tshuva. So, even ish kamahu, even somebody like a Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give him the opportunity to do tshuva. That's how fair HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. He doesn't want anyone to die unnecessarily. He wants people to do tshuva and come back to him. That's one way to interpret this line in the Sfarno. I think another way to interpret this line in the Sfarno, however, is to note that the Sfarno doesn't say even, right? He doesn't say, and even Bilam can do tshuva. Ish kamahu, somebody like him shouldn't be lost. Meaning, like we said before, Bilam had tremendous powers. Had he taken the powers that he had and channeled them for good, he could have been an extraordinary person. Could have been unbelievable. He had nevuah on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Imagine had he used that for good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a special interest in Bilam. I'd like Bilam to do tshuva. I'd like everybody to do tshuva, but I'd especially like Bilam to do tshuva. Because imagine a Bilam who's on our side. Imagine a Bilam who would be joining forces with Klal Yisrael, who'd be teaching the people to do the right thing. Imagine what he could accomplish. Right? Of course, he didn't follow through. Right. You take someone for tremendous kochos and, you know, let them do wonderful things. Right, so according to this reading of the Sfarno, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give an extra opportunity to Bilam to do tshuva, precisely because of the kochos hanefesh that he had. Shelo yovad ish kamohu, a person of his stature, of his potential, shouldn't be lost. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes this unusual miracle of the pi ha'ason, of the donkey's mouth opening up, so as to really impress upon Bilam, please, please, please do tshuva. You could be an incredible person. Of course, we know he didn't follow up, but it reminds us that every one of us should really take advantage of the opportunities that we have to do tshuva and to do what is right. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.